All right, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 5, he's been talking about sanctification. And unless I'm wrong, we went through some of this sanctification. Sanctification is a set apart, and that's what we should be. And we talked about these vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But then he talks about this certain lust, not in the lust of concupiscence. It's amazing how you take this world and they take a little thing flying around with wings, and angels don't have wings, and they call him Cupid, and he's got these arrows, you know, and he shoots you with these arrows, and then all of a sudden you just fall in love. That's the way the world thinks about things, you know. And concupiscence, that's with, you know, you got this thing, these people, I guess you could call a strong lust, you'd call it today just shacking up, I guess you'd say. But you got this thing nowadays of being indoors all the time, cooped up all the time. You know, you got these people nowadays, they won't get outside. They wonder why they're overtaken with lust all the time. Because that old saying, it's not in the Bible, but it's biblical. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They ain't got enough to do. A lot of folks, if they was busy working and busy trying to get things done and paying the bill, they wouldn't have enough time to go out here and do all this junk they're doing. You know, I go right back to that wrath and stuff. You know what? You know what's wrong with those folks? Nobody who's got a job's got to be at work 7 o'clock in the morning. Is going to be out 2 o'clock at night rioting. Unless you're on some kind of speed, and then you ought not be on that. You're in a mess. So you got this thing, lot in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. He's saying, look, those type of people, you know, these Gentiles, they don't know God. Now you think about this. They talk bad about the Gentiles in the scriptures. You know what we are? Gentile. Saved Gentile. That's amazing. He even calls them sinners of the Gentiles. You think that ain't a blessing right there that we're able to get in on things? We didn't have we were strangers, and from the commonwealth of Israel and the covenants of God. We had no promises, nothing. And the Lord allowed us to get in on what he had because of Calvary. When I get to thinking about that, I think, Lord, I don't even deserve to be able to crawl out from under a rock. And here it is. You gave me something to trust in because of your shed blood. That's a blessing. All right. And it says this in verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. You know what you see? This is something that I have to remind myself. This verse helps me a lot. You take right now, if you're in fellowship with the Lord, and you're trying to serve the Lord, and somebody comes against you, and they're defrauding you, and they're trying to oppress you, And they're trying to come up behind your back and things like that. You know who's the avenger of that? The Bible says that the Lord is the avenger. Now let me tell you something. It's bad enough to have the devil on you, but you know who I'd rather have on me than the Lord? I'd rather have the devil mad at me than I had the Lord. And let me tell you, that's like you take this world nowadays. Who's attacking these biblical preachers, and they're silencing them and trying to do up. You see all these laws like that, one man, I think it was in New Hampshire, who got in all that trouble for preaching to the sodomites. Alright, well, you imagine the Lord being the avenger of things like that and people coming against God's man. Hey, you know what happened to those, kids over there? Here comes Elisha. That story amazes me. You take yourself back to that thing right there. And you imagine this. You imagine here these kids. Well, you know who somebody, their parents had taught them that. How did they know to talk bad about the man of God like that? All right, so here comes Elisha, and these kids will say, "Go up, thou bald head! Go up, thou bald head!" Well, he's bald. They call him bald head because his head, Elijah, had went up. So they said, "Well, he went up. You get on out of here too. We'd rich brother, you be gone too." And he said, "The Lord curse you." You know what you do? A lot of these folks, you know what, because he knew, just like the archangel, he didn't say anything to the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." You know what you do with some of these folks like that? You just turn them over to the Lord. Why? Because you can't talk no sense. You think we can talk sense into them, but God can't talk any sense into them? And you know what it says? It says two she-bears came out and tore 40 and two of them up. Now you imagine them bears coming out. God said, "Go down there and get them." That's God. And he said, and do you imagine what's happening to a lot of these folks today? They're being tore up by spiritually. You got this thing spirit, and you wonder why, what happens to some of these people. I'm going to tell you, I hate to be in the shoes of those people who are coming against God's people. He said, I'm the avenger. I am, not the devil, nothing else. I'll tell you something, you don't want God against you. God can get it. You know one thing about God? He can take the bolts loose right up here. He can literally strip your gears in your mind and you can't think straight. That's something there. I'll just give you a prime example. Pharaoh, what's wrong with him? He hardened his heart against the Lord. And Job said, who hath hardened himself against the Lord and prospered? What he saying? Nobody. You take Pharaoh, there's Pharaoh, he's so hardened in his heart. He sees the sea, the Bible says the waters were congealed. What's that? That's like jello, congealed. That's so, here they are, the waters like this right here. And here goes Moses and the rest of them go, then Pharaoh said, I'll go down through there. Well, that crazy man, he's so crazy. What happened? His bolts were loose. You know what a lot of these folks will do? A lot of these folks come against God. And you take even like the Apostle Paul, he was persecuting the church of God. Jesus said, you're persecuting me. All right, well, that's his body. And you know what happens? People go straight down into the sea and they get drowned in the sea. He can take the boats loose. You know what the good thing about the Lord is, though? He's merciful enough that if they'll turn and they'll come to him, guess what he can do? He can take a man who was so crazy, he's out in the tombs cutting himself. And the Bible said when he come to Jesus, it said he was clothed in what? In his right mind. You know what you can do this afternoon? If you ain't got nothing else going for you, you got enough sense that you wanted to come to church tonight. That is a blessing. Why? Because, man, you imagine being in the state where you didn't even care. That is a passive state in your mind. You've gotten yourself to a passive state where you just, nobody did. What's happening is you've hardened, the heart's hardened. Well, man, if you've got a right mind, you can at least, you may have all kinds of troubles, but if you've got a right mind to help you get through the trouble, you can make it through a lot of stuff. But if you can't think right, you're in a mess no matter how small the trouble is. That's the thing. The Lord's the avenger. And he said, we have also forewarned you. You've been forewarned and testified. All right. Now watch this. Verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now there's a verse right there for a lot of folks who see, you got that separation, that sanctification in verse 3. Now, what was he called us to? Now, he called us to holiness. Why? Because he wants us to holy. That's a set apart. And so what, why? Because he wants other people to see him in us, not us. Man, I don't want nobody to see me. You look at Chase, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find mistakes in each and every person if you're looking at that person. But you know what I hope that shines out? I hope that somehow, some way, somebody can see Jesus in and through me somewhat. And you want the same thing. You want Jesus to shine out and let him get the glory, not yourself, because there's no glory on us. And you know what? The folks don't want to really, the folks who are not right with God don't really want to see the glory. You take Moses, he'd been in the presence of God, he comes down, his face shone. All right? Wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. All right, is Ecclesiastes. So here he is standing out. Well, you know what, everybody? We don't want to see your face. You're going to put a veil over that thing. We don't want to see you. Why? They wanted to go down there and have a naked dance party is what they did. Dancing the rock and roll. That's that boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, boom. You know, that's what you got. And so you got this thing now where people don't want to be set apart. Well, it's holiness. He said he doesn't call us unto uncleanness. Now this is the thing. This is how I know I constantly, constantly, constantly need the Lord. Well, because it's a daily thing. See, your sanctification today won't last you till tomorrow. I may be right with God today, but guess what? If I don't keep my fellowship right just tomorrow, I can be in fellowship with the Lord. But if I don't keep the thing up, guess what happens? Just tomorrow, I can mess up huge tomorrow and go slide straight down the hill. Well, that's why it's got to be a constant daily thing, so that daily manner. So, uncleanness, and you take that thing. The Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Now you take a lot of these folks, they talk about, they think they're so good, and the Bible says the thought of foolishness. That's not even horrible thoughts like what that's a foolish thought. That's how holy God is. Any foolish thought that we have, that's sin. I've had a lot of foolish thoughts. So that's why your sanctification has to be a daily walk, a daily thing. Our goal is, look, to be a little bit better tomorrow than we was today, and a little bit better the next day than you were that day. That it's a constant thing. Why? Because you take sermons. Today's sermon won't do you through the next week. And so on and so forth. Why? The Bible says if they didn't gather that manna daily, the manna they gathered yesterday, it bred worms and stank, the Bible said. So guess what? You got to have a daily something, a daily dose. Why? Because that thing yesterday won't last you. You know, I like listening to sermons. But you know what? You got to keep doing it. You got to keep listening to it. You got to keep feeding. You got to keep feeding. You got to keep feeding that spirit. Why? Because the flesh is constantly hungry and is constantly wanting to feed on something else because it's trying to overtake. It's a monster. Your flesh, you are living in a monster. And you look in that mirror right there, and that thing, if you let that flesh take over, it will completely take over your life. And you're right here, what God has called you to do. Now people say, well, what's God called? He said, He's not called you. You know what He's not called you to? Unto uncleanness. This is what He's called you to. But unto holiness. So, well, what's God called me to do? The right road is the road to holiness. So how do you know if you're on the right road? If something is leading you away from Jesus Christ, that's not the right road. Well, I don't know if I need to go here. I don't know if I need to go there. I mean, if we move here, you have some of these folks, they're debating on moving to a certain place and moving over here. All right, well, if you move, is that thing going to be getting you closer to God or away from God? And you know what gets me? We talk to some people about going to church and say, sweet people, nice people, I'm not running anybody down. But you know what gets me is we've come to a place where people are putting their physical above their spiritual. That's what they say. I talked to some people. Well, you know, it's 34 miles down there to your church, and we just can't make it drive. I understand. How far do you go to work? Oh, we drive to Memphis. We have to drive to Memphis to work. See? You see what's happening? Now you can drive a long way for work, but don't worry about driving for church. What's ahead of God? See, you take this thing that I'm telling you, that flesh is a monster. It gets you where you can't even think right. You take a lot of these folks, well, I don't like giving to church. You know, those folks, they just always want your money. Okay, but they'll go out to a bar on Saturday night and spend $130 between gas and everything else going out on a Saturday night. It don't make any sense. Well, what I'm saying is that the people are not thinking. They're not thinking. Why? Because that flesh will completely take over you, and you'll think in a fleshly manner, and you will not think in a spiritual manner. So guess what happens? You have to constantly work on your sanctification daily. Why? So you can even think right. That's the thing. That's the thing I tell you. I know this right here. You'll make better decisions whenever you're right with God. I have made some of the craziest decisions. I look back and I think, what was I thinking? I tell you what, I wasn't thinking at all. I was thinking about this old flesh. Now, you know what that flesh will lead you to do? You know what it always leads you to do? The easiest thing possible. You know what's hard? Bearing that cross is hard. So He said, take up your cross and follow Me. You know what the cross says? He said, not My will, but Thy will be done. That's the cross. You know what we have to do? Lord, not My will, but Thy will be done. See, whenever we do that, if you're going to be on the road to holiness is the cross, and that road says, Lord, I want Your will to be done. That's why whenever we pray, you know what the best way to pray? Look, people, you know, a lot of times we wonder, well, I say that same thing in my prayer all the time. Jesus went back and forth 3 times, and the Bible said He prayed the same thing again. If Jesus prayed the same thing, I think it's all right for us to pray the same thing. Daniel prayed the same thing. Sometimes I pray almost the exact same prayer sometimes. There's some things I want to come to pass, and I want to keep knocking and keep knocking. You know what the Bible said over there? He said this. He said, Matthew 7, He said, ask, and this is neat to me, I'll show you. Seek and knock. Like that right there. And there's a built-in ask. Ask and seek and knock. Guess what you do? You ask, and you keep on asking, you seek, and you keep on seeking, and you knock, and you keep on knocking by what? Asking. You know what I've gotten to where I do? It's like my buddy said in that one sermon me and Mama listened to. He said, look, I ask for everything I didn't ask for. I wonder sometimes if I meet the Lord, and He said, well, I could have gave you that, but you never asked me. See, if I can just go ahead and ask. Why? Because if you don't need it, He's not going to give it to you. If you're right with Him, stay right and ask Him. Now, Verse 8 says, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Alright, so God, that Holy Spirit is given, but watch this, verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Alright, so, you've got to realize that, like that verse there, "He that despiseth not man, but he therefore that despiseth not man, but God." All right, so you take this. We got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You know what people are going to do? They're going to despise you. Well, who are they despising? That verse right there said they're despising God. You ever thought about that? You take in the Old Testament, Samuel got so upset. He said, "Lord, they want the king." And Lord, I sure am sorry. He said, "Samuel." Samuel kept on saying, "What I do to y'all? What I do to y'all? You hadn't done anything, Samuel. They hadn't rejected thee. They rejected me." You know why a lot of folks don't like being around you? It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with they can't stand the Lord. The Holy Ghost is giving you on the inside of you, and that thing, that's those two spirits are not testifying together. Now you take two children of the devil. You know what they'll do? Them spirits will testify together, and they'll get right along. You can take a group of 20 folks, and it won't take very long at all. And guess what? The ones that's lost to find the one that's lost, and the one that's saved to find the one that's saved, and they'll get right up to get one. Those spirits will familiarize together, and they'll get together. And who you're familiar with will get right along there, and they'll despise that Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But the thing is, you see that brotherly love, we know we're supposed to love. We're taught of God to love. Now, you know what? The Lord will teach us things. And look at 1 John chapter 2 with me. How am I doing on time? My, I got to get going. I've got to get going. 1 John chapter 2. I mean, I've been drawing this chart. I'm getting to this chart, Lord willing. Y'all, I know, I hope you're not too hungry. We got to get over this. 1 John chapter 2. Alright, we're going to look at this thing, taught of God. I won't stay here very long, but I just want to show you these things. Alright, and I ain't even got time to go into the anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth." Well, what's truth? The Holy Spirit's called truth. The Word's called truth. Jesus is called truth. And all three are in you if you're saved. "And is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." That anointing. What's that anointing? That's that thing in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And let me just show you this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. My mind won't let me not show you this stuff. It said the anointing. Now, in each dispensation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John got a lot of tribulational stuff in there. But guess what? All of us are needed. Even then, that's going to be like the Old Testament. You take the old Schofield study system, good Bible, but Schofield messed up and he said, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come on the inside of people in the Old Testament. I can show you 8 or 10 verses that said the Holy Spirit was inside them. He just didn't seal them. He could come and go. But you take with us, the Holy Spirit can't come and go. Why? You're sealed. You got a different thing. All right, but now you're taught of God by that anointing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "Now he which establisheth," we went over that, "establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." Now watch this thing. Watch how he protects this anointing. What's that anointing there? "Who also has sealed us and given, there's your gift, the earnest money of the Spirit," where? In our hearts. It's in you. Alright, now you got that thing on the inside of you, and guess what? Whenever you're being taught by something, that's like this thing right here, right now. I've either got one of a few spirits come out of my mouth. The Bible says in Job that the heart tasteth words as the mouth tasteth meat. So these words are coming out of my mouth, or it's either going to be the human spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or it's going to be the Holy Spirit, or it's going to be an unclean spirit, and then you got the spirit of beast. Now, I ain't got a beast spirit. So you got one of those three spirits coming out of here, out of your, at any given time. And one can come out one way and one come out the other at the very next minute. You take Simon Peter, one minute he says, yeah, you're the Lord, you're the Christ. He said, yeah, the Father's revealed this to thee. The very next thing, Simon Peter says, Lord, be it not unto thee. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He went from speaking with one spirit, the very next breath speaking with another spirit. You know how we can do? We can go one minute. If you're not lying, you're telling the truth. Well, that's of the Lord. But you could go the very next instant and be lying and speaking with an unclean spirit. Now, I'll tell you this. The Bible says you're taught of God. Now, what's that? God, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and He's able to give you that discernment whether truth or not. Now, how do we do that with discernment? How can we tell whether a spirit, well, an unclean spirit say, yeah, that's truth right there. That's why you got that measuring rod. You've got to have that book. Thank God for the book in so many aspects. Why? I can measure it by the Bible. I can get in there and I can say, hold on, that's not Bible. That you know what's wrong with it? One thing that's wrong with this world so much? They don't have any truth falling in the street. And they don't have the Word. They don't have Jesus. They don't have that Holy Spirit that's able to teach them to discern. And they're just susceptible to all these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Because what's happened is they have not the discernment. You know what? You got something new, and you know what that thing will do? It's done it with me. Red flag. And if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And then them verses start going off, and you start weighing things, and the Holy Spirit's saying, no, that's not right, because over here it said this, and over here it said this, and He's starting to show you those things. You know why it's important to put that Bible in you, even though when you think, well, I can't even remember the last thing I read. I can't even remember that chapter I read. At least it's in you. Why? Because at the right time, the Holy Ghost is able to bring that thing out and say, the other day when you thought you wasn't getting anything out of that, I'm going to pull that thing out and weigh that thing for you. He's able to weigh. Why? That's why you got to get it in there. You're eating the words. Job said, I've esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what you're doing? You're eating in there, and guess what happened? Like right now, I ate pretty good today. I ate a good bit of meat and stuff like that today. Well, right now, am I needing a whole influx of nutrients into my cells right now? Not necessarily. But if something happened, I had to pick up this pew right here, and I had to exert, guess what? That energy is available, and that creatine is able to go through my cells, and I'm able to get hold of that nutrient right when I need it. I'm able to push. Now, you know what happens? You feed yourself on that Bible, and say, well, it really ain't doing much good. Okay, whenever you need it, it's there. The nutrient's there. You have to be real careful about that thing, because why? The devil says, it's not that important. It's not that important. Well, I tell you what, you get to where you need to exert that energy out, and you need that food of the Word, that bread, and you need the energy from it. You'll find out. You know what's happening to a lot of Christians? They're not feeding. So guess what? Whenever the day comes and the attack comes from the devil, well, guess what? They get hit by a barrage of punches, and they're not able to fend off while they have no energy. And they get mad and everything else. Why? When a normal, if you had been feeding that morning, you had at least had your strength for the day. You had your manna. You ate your bread. We feed our body. We feed our soul. See, that Holy Ghost to teach you. And He's able to draw. He's able to draw from your storage. So you're taught of God to love one another. That's the thing. Love is of God. The Bible says that God is love. But we got to remember, love is not God, but God is love. So the love is a real love that gives. Charity is what the Bible calls it. Why? We call charity something that you give to. We even admit that that's the best word. All right, so it says this, verse 10, and indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. See, it's a daily thing. Don't just stay stagnant. Keep on increasing more and more. Well, you're never going to get enough Jesus Christ. You'll never get enough Bible. You'll never get enough learning. You just keep going. And it says this, and that you study, to do what? To be quiet. You know what's so hard about our life today? I'm learning this. Our life is so filled with noise. It's filled with noise. The devil tries to get you where you do not have any quiet time. That's one trouble with our society, with all these bells and whistles and dinging and the phone ringing and this and that and this. When it was just, before long you can't think, you can't study to be quiet. You have to actually study that thing. Study's work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So he's saying, look, if you're going to have some quiet time, it's going to be tough. You're going to actually have to study to be quiet. Now, whenever people get revealed things to God, there had to be quiet. Let me show you something in 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9 with me. And, I've got to get to that chart. I'll show you this, and we're going to really move on. But I want to show you this because it's actually a good sermon. It'd be a good sermon to talk about quietness and how you learn from the Word of God. But watch what he says there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 9, look at verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while." How long? A while. "That I may show thee the word of God." You know why a lot of folks don't know the word of God and don't want to learn the word of God and ain't moving on? Because they won't sit still very long. You take this world today, they will not sit still in church service. But you know what? You think the flesh ain't strong? It's hard. I'm telling you this, but that's why I pray, Lord, make it interesting. I want the study to be interesting. Why? I know that the flesh is so strong, it'll knock you out. Man, it's hard to stay. We can hardly stay awake an hour sitting right here feeding on the Word of God. Why? Much study is a weariness to the flesh. But you know what? That flesh is so strong, we can sit there and watch 3 hours of TV. Just sitting there, just like wide open, man. Just wide your eyes wide. Why? Because that flesh, man, that flesh. And see, the flesh is on the outside here, and the spirit's wanting to grow. So whenever you're reading that right there, that flesh is going, What's happening? You're knocking that flesh back. You're knocking your flesh. Now, I know we all get sleepy. Sometimes we don't feel. But I'm just saying, if you'll notice that, you take tonight. You get to where you can't sleep very good, read your Bible for about 30 minutes. But I'm serious. I've been reading before y'all, and I've literally went. My flesh is getting knocked back. You got to study to be quiet. And it says, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. There's a good thing right there. Do your own business. All right, that's why y'all, you take these new social media things, y'all, that stuff is dangerous. Now, I'm not saying that you got it, you're sinning if you got it, but I tell you this right here. You take a lot of these folks, and they're so worried, they're more worried about what the next man's doing than what their own business. We've got to remember that, look, the main person that we need to be working on is right here. Right here. And so he tells you, you got to study that thing. Why? Because it's hard. It's human nature. Y'all, every one of us have got a part of us that wants to know this, wants to know that, wants to know the other thing. You know what you'll find out a lot of times? You find out things y'all not need to know. You know what I'm learning? I don't want to hear something bad about somebody. I don't want to hear the one. Because, friend, I want to look at y'all in a good light. Well, why do you have to stay in the past on everybody all the time? Well, who brings up the devil does all the time. He'd like to bring up dirt on you. All of us could have something the devil could bring up. Well, guess what? Study to do your own business. Why? Because, man, form your own opinion about people. That's like with me on all these websites. They try to bring this stuff up and bring dirt up on this. Let me form my own. Don't tell me how to think about so-and-so. I'll tell you what about them. Let me form my own opinion. They may have treated you sorry for a reason. Some of these folks talk about how sorry everybody is. Well, some of these folks are sorry to you because you've been sorry to them. I'm not saying that's always the case, but you have to form your own opinion about people. Why? Because people would love to run you down. And then well, I know how she is. Let me tell you something. Donald, don't tell me anything. Why? Because I want to form my own opinion. Do your own business and work with your own hands. Verse 12, that we may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So he's telling you, a lot of folks have lack. Why? Because they're so worried about other folks' business. They're lacking, and even spiritually too. Why? Because y'all, we've got to examine ourselves constantly. And we won't have lack there. But now this, why? He's getting you ready. This thing, we're looking at the rapture. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's asleep in Jesus. That ye sorrow not. Now what kind of sorrow? We know we all have sorrow sometimes, but he said, even as others which have no hope. We're going to have sorrow. But 2 Corinthians 7:10 said there's a sorrow, a godly sorrow, but there's a worldly sorrow that bringeth death. Now look, whenever somebody dies, And you take a Christian that dies, guess what? I don't sorrow as others that have no hope. Why? When a Christian dies, my hope is Jesus Christ, and I know I'm going to see him again. We don't have to. You may be sad for a time, but look here. If something ever happened to Brother Chase, friend, don't you waste your time being sad. Why? I wouldn't come back if I had to. I'd be with the Lord. That's what you have to be real. Why? Because it says, don't sorrow as those others. Why? You know what helps a lot of folks so much? A Christian gets through things this world, the people of this world, you think they got through, they never did get through it. Well, but they're still to the point where they have no hope at all. They lose hope. See, they were without hope and without God. Without hope and without God. You know what, it's like Harry Ironside said one time. He said, you know what, those folks are going to get to hell. And he said, they'll look back and there'll be a sign on the gates that said, no hope. No hope. There's no hope for ever getting out. You know, no matter how bad it gets here with us, we've always got hope. Because my hope is Jesus Christ. We don't have to sorrow like they do. Now, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, hold on. Let me stop right there. Tonight, do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Now, if you do, and you really believe that, and when I say you really believe that, some people say, well, I don't know if I had enough faith, and I don't know. Look. If this is one of my favorite things, if I had a jar this big around, glass jar, and I took one little bitty old seed like this right and dropped it down in that jar, is that jar got anything in it? Well, no, it don't. It's only got one little seed. Some people would say it's got something in it. No, you know what? It's not the amount of your faith that matters. It's the object of your faith. Does that make sense? Some people say, well, I just don't know if I had enough faith to believe whenever I believe. Did you have enough faith to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me for my sin. Now, where about other folks? Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross. And I believe if it was only one, he would have died for that one. That's what I believe. All right, now you take that right there. You know what? It don't matter as far as this pew and all this stuff. What if this pew's rickety and all that stuff? Well, guess what? If I've got enough faith just to get up here like this right here and say, I believe it hold me up. Is it hold me up? Now, I didn't know. I wasn't sure. It could have fell in it, but I had enough faith. That's how it is with Christ. If you've got enough faith to place your faith and trust in him, don't never let the devil make you think you didn't have enough and you don't know. Why? Because he says in that verse that if you believe that, it said, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Guess what? If you die and you had enough faith to believe Jesus Christ died for you, guess what? He's going to bring you and the others with him. Right. Now you got folks that's passed on right now. You know what he's going to do? He's going to bring one of these days soon, maybe this afternoon, I don't know when. And the thing is, the fullness is going to come in and he's going to say, all right, come on, let's go meet him. Go meet him in there. The dead in Christ arise first, brother. Them graves are bust wide open, man. And guess what's going to happen? They'll meet their glorified body. And then after that, we'll go up like this right here. And man, that thing's going to be awesome. And you've got this text right here that brings it out so beautifully. He says this, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It's so confident because it's by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now prevent. There's your King James word. People, well, I don't like it, King James. It's so easy. Prevent. That's pre-event. There's a pre-event. That's all that is. We're not gonna pre-event those. We're not gonna prevent them. They're gonna go first. Now you take that thing, that's easy. It shouldn't be hard at all. But people don't want to think. Them which are asleep. Now, for the Lord who? Himself. Now you take that himself right there. You contrast that thing. You don't have to turn there with Matthew 24:31. And it says, you know that this is different from what happens there because it says the angels are gathered them. Now you got a totally different deal there. Why? The Lord's coming himself. And on that, in Matthew 24:31, it says the angels go gather them from the four winds. Now you got a different deal right there. That's not the rapture. So many people get Matthew 24 confused with that. That's dealing with it. That's a tribulational passage right there. That ain't got nothing to do with the rapture of the church. And so you got this thing, the Lord who himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. Now, who's the archangel? Michael. Now, why is it the voice of the archangel? Why is the archangel there with him? Because I'm going to tell you one thing. One thing is this. You got principalities and powers of the air. He's going to meet us in the air. All right, now you take a whole thing. If we were to peel back this layer right now, there's principalities and powers that scare you to death. And you know what? Angel's the protector there, and he's over Israel as well. And you got a different dispensation about to go in. When the rapture goes, look, the dispensation of church age is over. It's over. Dispensation of pure grace, now grace covers all in a way, but we're in a dispensation that's pure grace right now. It's done. It's done. Salvation, the way we've got it right here, man, I'm telling you. You imagine that Bible said there's going to be strong delusion. You imagine some of these charismatic churches and stuff like that right now, they're teaching works and stuff. Well, they're wrong. Well, then the rapture goes up and they say, hey, man, something happened. Those Baptists or whoever it was, they believe grace through faith. We better believe grace through faith. And guess what? There's been a change. He says, you better keep them commandments while works are involved then. Why? Because you don't have the sealing anymore. That's scary. I'm telling you, that scares me. Because you take a lot of these folks nowadays, they're teaching that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. No, he says, any man, Revelation 14, you can't take the mark of the beast and go to heaven. It won't work. You know, you take that thing, a different dispensation is going to be ushered in, and you got the archangel. Now, with a trump of God. Now, let's look at this trump of God for a minute. Look at, hold your place there. Look at Revelation 4, verse 1. My time is going by. I'm at the... Still won't get through that chart, man. Alright. Well, I hope y'all not. I sure don't want to... I don't want to get you to where, man, I don't want to go down there. We'll be down there 3 hours. But look at this. I want to show you this thing. The trump of God. Revelation 4:1. I want to show you this thing. We're going to find out that the trump is God speaking. It didn't say... See, you take a lot of these folks and they say, well, see there? You got those trumpets there in that last trump. You got these seven trumpets of Revelation. Man, they'll really get in. They really think they're preaching. That's trumpets. This says trump. The trump of God. Now, well, watch what the trump... See, this is what I want y'all to realize. You don't have to have a Hebrew and Greek scholar teach you nothing. All you got to have is you and the Holy Ghost and the Scripture. And you can compare Scripture with Scripture and find out what the truth is. Well, you don't have to. You know, I'm just leading you in a study tonight. But you take in your Bible and you pray the Holy Spirit show you things. And you take your concordance out and run the references. And you'll find out what the trump is. Now, you take in and it's the Lord's voice is like a trumpet. Revelation 4 verse 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice, which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. That's not dun da da dun da da dun. That's a trumpet talking. Guess what he said? Which said, come up hither. Come up hither. Alright, now let me show you something else about this. Trumpet here. Look at Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Revelation 1 verse 10. Alright, he said he heard with the trump of God. Alright, now let me say this. He said, and he spoke, the dead in Christ arrived. Now look, what did the Lord Jesus say to Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I believe, like one man said here one night we studied, he said, I believe he said Lazarus because if he wasn't specific, every one of them would come out. Brother, I believe that. Why? He said, damn, will I say unto thee, arise. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one who he can give those commands. He's got a commanding voice, and it's like a trumpet. All right, now you take this thing, Revelation 1:10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's the day of the Lord. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That's a great voice. Now, let's look at this trump. I knew I had that reference wrong. Look at Exodus. Exodus 19. This is some stuff. This is some stuff here that, as far as I'm concerned, you won't get hardly anywhere else. Exodus chapter 19 said the last trump. Where was the first trump at? That's what I want to know. All right. Y'all let me know when you get there.
I got to change my reference real quick. I don't like that. Having that thing wrong. All right, Exodus 19. All right, you got the Lord coming down on Sinai the first time. This is the first time they had heard something like this. They were scared to death. Look at verse 13. It says, "There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through if he touch the mountain. Whenever it be, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." Now watch verse 19. "And when the voice," see that thing right there? "The voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him," how? By a voice. The voice of the trumpet. There's the voice of God. Now, let me show you something about this voice. All right? What will, you take this voice here, and what amazes me in the Bible, you got three things in the rapture. It's called a harvest, and there's a threefold harvest. Now, I don't have time to go through all the scripture to you tonight. In 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24, the Lord in His scripture tells you it's like a harvest. Now, if anybody's ever had anything to do with corn or tomatoes or anything, you know you got first fruits, then you got the main harvest where you can get the most of, and then you're going to have some gleanings, a little bit here and left over after you've had the main harvest. Now, you know what He says there? The first thing's Christ, the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15, 23. Guess when that was? When Christ came and He said, "Many of the bodies which slept arose." That's the first fruit. There's a threefold first resurrection. Well, see, how does that thing make sense there in Revelation? The first resurrection, He said, "You better hope you have part of that," and the second resurrection. Well, see, a lot of these Pentecostals and stuff are so off on the scriptures because they're trying to fit it all together. No, it's a three-part first resurrection. He's got an outline. It's outlined right here. He says, "Afterward, they at His coming." That's the harvest. There's 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. That's afterward, they at His coming. So you got the first fruit, you got the main harvest, then cometh the end. Well, what's the end? The end, the end. "They shall endure and win." The end. That's the end of this world, as we know. He calls it this present evil world. That's the end. They better endure to the end, Matthew 24, 13. Hebrews keeps on talking about the end, the end, the end. Why? Hebrews chapter 1 tells you the world to come is in the context there. 1 and 2 Peter keeps on talking about the end, receiving the end of your faith and the end of it. 1, 2, 3 John keeps talking about keeping the commandments and the commandments and the commandments. Y'all, I don't have to keep the commandments for my salvation. I can get a lot of practical application out of there. But you better watch getting your doctrine out of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Why? Because He said you're not the children of God if you're not keeping His commandments. Now, friend, let me ask you something. Is anybody in here keeping God's commandments? Man, I'm not lying. The commandments, you got. Are y'all keeping the Sabbath? I hope not. Why? We're keeping the first day of the week. We've been meeting on Sunday. Now, you take that thing, why? You got a totally different dispensation coming in there. And I don't have to endure to nothing. Why? 1 Corinthians 1:8 says He's already endured for me. See, you got to weigh that thing out of there. And what's happening is people don't weigh these scriptures. And what happened, a lot of folks, like Seventh-day Adventists, you talk to some of the nicest folks you ever talked to in your life, and they're so deceived, man, they're blinder than a blind mosquito, man. They can't find anything. And what I'm saying is they've got scripture, but it's not in the right context. Now, you take this thing, then they would come at the end. Revelation 11:15 talks about that rapture that's going to happen there at the end when He makes the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of the Lord and His Christ. Why does it say His Christ? Because there's an Antichrist and there's a real Christ. Now you take there's the end, and Daniel talks about the end, the end, the end. All through there. That's the end. That's then coming. So you got this first, you got the first fruit, they got the main harvest, then you got then come at the end. Guess what? It matches the three calls. It's amazing to me that "come up hither" is mentioned three times in the Bible, three times only. You got the first fruits. Proverbs 25:7 says, "Come up hither." Now, even though we know that these churches are churches in the tribulation, Revelation 4, still you got the church mentioned, and He says, "Come up hither." There's a picture of your main harvest, and in Revelation 11:12, He says, "Come up hither." It's amazing how He puts that thing together right there. Now, what you have here is you got that trumpet and you say, "Well, what's the lost going to hear?" Well, they're going to hear something all right. Turn to John 12. John 12. They're going to hear something.
And you say, well, what's the Bible say about it? The Bible will tell you exactly what they're going to hear. John chapter number 12. Now, Psalms 29 talks about the voice of the Lord being thunder. All right, so y'all may or may not remember that. Now watch this in John 12. I want to show you this thing about, you say, what you imagine tonight, here comes the trump of God. Now look, the lost people don't hear God's voice. He said, if you were of God, you would have heard my voice. Now you want a picture of that thing right quick? You take in John 20, where Mary, here's Mary, and she's, you know, after the resurrection, she's looking for the Lord, and she looks up and she says, supposing him to be the gardener. Why? He's the last Adam. The first Adam died in the garden. The second Adam died in the garden. There's a gardener. Supposed him to be the gardener. All right. And she looks up and she said, where's the Lord? And she said, where have you taken him? And he speaks to her. And she's still looking for the Lord. And he says her name. He says, Mary. She says, Rabboni. She knew it was him. Why? My sheep hear my voice. The voice of the trumpet. And guess what? You'll be able to hear that voice. Now what happened to these other ones? What's going to happen to the other ones? That's lost. John 12, verse 28, it says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake unto him. All right. So you got a voice coming in there. Some of them said it thundered. Some of them said an angel spake. So it sounds like thunder. Now let me show you something in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. That voice to people don't know God, man, they don't know what just sounds like thunder, man. It's a strange thing. It's a phenomenon. Now you look at Acts chapter 9 with me. All right. In Acts chapter number 9, verse 7. It says, and the men are, whenever the Lord's talking to Paul there, and he says, you're persecuting me, why you kick against the pricks and all that thing? He speaks to him, it says, from heaven. Alright, verse 7 says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Alright, they heard a voice, but they didn't see any man. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 22. We'll see, let's dig into this a little deeper. So you just keep the scripture, we'll give you scripture to go with it. Now why does the Lord do this? Why don't, you know, you ever wonder why the Lord just didn't write it straight down the line and just, I've wondered that a lot of times. Lord, why didn't you just put it just as plain? I'll tell you why. Because you wouldn't grow, you'd read it one time, you say, I done got it all and that's it. He says you gotta study. See, the thing is, he knows this right here. There's a lot of folks that get saved and they don't ever read anymore. They don't study. But you know what he did? His secrets he shows to those who's close to him. His are revealed to his servants, the prophet, his servants. So guess what happened? We serve him more. He said, I'll show you another thing. It's over here. You know what? That way you keep a constant relationship with him. Thank you. You know what? You get to where you appreciate these things. He said, thank you, Lord. Lord, I sure wanted to see that. Lord, I appreciate that. And now watch this, Acts 22, verse 9. It says, and they, Paul was giving this testimony, they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. Now, that's a strange thing right there, because some of them said that they heard a voice. Some of them said, he said, well, they heard a voice and didn't. In verse 9, it said, they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. So what do you have there? You got a thing right there and I was wanting to show you that other note I had on that thing. You got a thing in the text that teaches you. Where is that? See, the men heard the sound of the voice, but they did not discern the words. They could hear a sound, but they didn't hear the words. All they heard was a sound. Look at one more. Look at Acts 26:14. See, we see he's giving this testimony, and you're getting a little bit more light each time you read it. Acts 26:14. All right. Saul got something right specific. In verse 14 it says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He heard a distinct thing. All they heard was just mumbled up, just basically thunder, like something they didn't distinguish what it was. Now you take that thing, and here comes the trump of God, and he speaks, and he calls your name, and he says, "Come up hither." And you imagine that thing, boom, he calls you like that right there, and all the lost people hear. You know, have you ever seen on some days where it's just a few clouds out and maybe the storm's over in the horizon? You ever heard that distant thunder like that right there? You imagine that, and that's all the lost folks hearing. "I don't know, man. All I heard was something." And you know what? You imagine the media gets on there and the media says, "Man, I'll tell you what happened to them. Aliens got them." Aliens, those people weren't right. Those people believe wrong. And you imagine all this stuff, the rapture happens. And I'm just giving you a scenario because you know how crazy this world is. All right, well, you know what? Saul is a type of the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes down, and here he comes down like this right here in this UFO. And he outsteps the most beautiful, great, big old tall man you've ever seen. He says, I'm going to be the new pope. And here he comes up here, and brother, everybody says, "Wow, look at that guy." And he says, "Peace." Well, here's the bowman like this right here. And he says, "I've got all the answers to all your problems. I know it's chaotic right now." You imagine the chaos. You take that rapture line, order out of chaos on the back of your dollar. It says novios ordeo seclorum. That's order out of chaos. All right, now you take that thing comes in, and all this stuff, these people have got some sense, they're out of here, and all this stuff, all this chaos, and you people can't figure out whatever's going on. And all of a sudden he comes and said, "I can tell you what happened. And not only can I tell you what happened to him, I can solve all your problems. We'll get us a one world. We'll all get together." And guess what? He's gonna be better than Muhammad. He's gonna be better than Gandhi. He's gonna be better than all these folks. Well, he's gonna be Satan, Superman, and they're gonna love him. Why? Because the Greeks seek after wisdom, and the Jews require a sign. So he'll have the wisdom, and he'll have the signs. He'll be able to call fire down from heaven. You imagine that Antichrist come to a Pentecostal service, and he comes down there, and he says, "Oh, I'm going to get him." And he comes up there like this right here, and he puts fire. He puts clothing and tongues of fire. And man, they read over in the book of Acts. But it says in the book of Acts, it says, the King James says, "like as of fire." Like as. It wouldn't look. But he's able to come. He's able to pull that fire down from heaven. They say, "Oh, I know it. We're at the right church now. We've got it, buddy." And they get up there and hosh a shun tie and tie a bow tie and fee fi fo fum all over the place. And guess what? Everybody's tricked. And he's got them. He's got them. Now you take this thing in Revelation about those tongues. You know what it says in Revelation 16? It said three unclean spirits like frogs come out. You ever thought about that? How does a frog catch his prey? With his tongue. I'm telling you, that's an unclean spirit. What's coming out of your mouth? They have one of three spirits. Well, those unclean spirits use those old tongues. Look, I'm telling you, I don't need more tongues. I've got enough trouble with the one I got. Now, you take this. Let's turn to Isaiah 57. And we'll close on this one. Now, do you think that the world, and y'all don't have to give me feedback if you don't want to, but now you take this world, do you think they're going to miss the church when they're gone? What do y'all think? Yeah, all right. Well, you think about this. You think right now, like it's your workplace and stuff like that, when they're telling those jokes and all that stuff, and then you don't chime in with them, well, they're getting convicted and all this stuff. Well, man, all that conviction will be gone. It'd just be smooth sailing for them. And they say, well, you could, the demons told you, you come to torment me before my time. Well, Jesus torments folks. It's just a torment to them. You take Elijah. That one man Ahab, he said, "You come to call my sin into question." Well, see, they don't have that. So you take this thing going, all these folks that you go out of there and you've been trying to tell folks about the Lord, you think they're going to miss you? Look at Isaiah 57. "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away." Now watch this. "None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." The Lord does it all the time. Before the evil come, you know what he did? He stripped Enoch out of there. Now the type of the Jews getting through the tribulation is Noah. All right, well, God got them through that thing. But you know what? He still takes them away from the evil to come. You take Lot, he says, I can't do anything until you get out of here. Well, guess what? You're going to have these Jews, and he'll send them up to Salem Petra, and it'll be hell on earth. I mean, it really will. But you know what? None considered. You know, you take the rapture happen, you know what none of them's going to consider? He's taking them away from the evil to come. You know what the Bible talks about? The Lord says, I bring evil. I create evil. You know what he's going to do? He's going to allow the evil of their deeds to come upon them. And they wanted hell. They said, well, all my friends are going to be there. I'm on a highway to hell. Okay, then. Well, we'll just see how much you like hell. I'll unleash it on earth. Why? You say it's going to be hell on earth? Of course it is. Why? Revelation 9 says those beasts, those things are going to come out of the earth. It'll be hell on earth. He's going to unleash them things. Can you imagine you standing out here and you hadn't trusted Jesus Christ, and you imagine them folks standing out here and you hear, and it's getting louder and it's getting louder, and all of a sudden this great big old thing comes up, and it's got the face of a man, teeth like a lion, hair like a woman, and it's got this body like a horse, and a great big old tail like this, and that thing comes up through there. You say, what is that? Now look, nobody have to go through that stuff. You know, that's like with us. I ain't got to go through a thing of that. You know why? Because I tell you all the time, we're looking for Christ. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. Why? Because he said, you're looking for me. We've got a blessed hope. You know what he tells you in those things? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, if we were looking for the Antichrist and we were looking for the tribulation and all this stuff, would I have any comfort for you? You know what I'd be saying? If I believe that. If I really believe that, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be no coward about it like some of these old cowards are. I'd tell you this. You better be getting yourself a bunker. You better be getting yourself some food. You better be getting yourself some EpiPen because the insects are going to bite you and they'll be sick on you. And you better be getting yourself some protection. I'd be telling you from the pulpit. You know what I'm telling you? Don't worry about none of that stuff. Why? Because look, I've already prepared. I'm in Christ, and if the worst happens, buddy, the worst thing that can happen for me, they just take this old body and send me straight to heaven. Folks say, well, they're going to blow this thing to hell. No, you couldn't blow me to hell with anything. Why? You'll blow me straight to heaven. And friends, you got that thing going on. You got to realize you've got a hope that this world can't lay hold on. Why? Because you're in Christ. That's the thing I want you to know. Why? He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And you got that thing laid out right there in the Bible. And this is what I'm looking for, that main harvest right there. And then cometh in, that belongs to somebody else. They'll still be part of the first resurrection. But guess what? I would rather take part of the main harvest right here. And all you got to do is trust Jesus Christ. I've trusted Him. You know what? I've already signed up. I'm on the winning side, and I couldn't get off of that winning side if I wanted to. That makes a lot of folks mad. I know that. But brother, thank God for that hope. Thank God for it. We'll close out right there. Brother Carl, would you close us out, please?